tumultuous years, 2015 to 2017. Looking back from early 2018, it's amazing how much has changed since we published that article in August of 2015. A powerful movement for racial justice had already been launched and was gaining strength with each horrific cell phone video of police killing unarmed black men. That fall, protests over issues of racial justice erupted at dozens of campuses around the country, beginning at the University of Missouri and Yale. It was a level of activism not seen on campus in decades. Meanwhile, during this period, mass killings filled the news. Terrorists carried out large-scale attacks across Europe and the Middle East. In the United States, 14 people were killed and more than 20 others injured in an ISIS-inspired shooting in San Bernardino, California. Another ISIS-inspired attack on a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, became the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, with 49 people killed. And that number was surpassed just 16 months later in Las Vegas, when a man with what was essentially a machine gun shot and killed 58 people and wounded 851 others at an outdoor concert. And 2016 became one of the strangest years ever in U.S. presidential politics when Donald Trump, a candidate with no prior political experience, who had been widely regarded as unelectable because of the many groups of people he had offended, not only won the Republican primary, but won the election. Millions turned out across the country to protest his inauguration, cross-partisan hatred surged, and the news cycle came to revolve around the president's latest tweet or latest comment about nuclear war. Attention returned to campus protests in the spring of 2017 as violence broke out at Middlebury College and, on a scale not seen in decades, at the University of California, Berkeley, where self-described anti-fascists caused hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage to the campus and the town, injuring students and others. 6 months later, neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klansmen marched with torches across the grounds of the University of Virginia, one day before a white nationalist drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing one of them and injuring others. The year ended with the Me Too movement, as many women began to publicly share their stories of sexual misconduct and assault, stories that turned out to be common in professions dominated by powerful men. In this environment, practically anyone of any age and at any point on the political spectrum could make the case for being anxious, depressed, or outraged. Isn't this a sufficient explanation for the unrest and new demands for safety on campus? Why return to the issues we raised in our original Atlantic article? Coddling means overprotecting. We have always been ambivalent about the word coddling. We didn't like the implication that children today are pampered, spoiled, and lazy, because that is not accurate. Young people today, at a minimum those who are competing for places at selective colleges, are under enormous pressure to perform academically and to build up a long list of extracurricular accomplishments. Meanwhile, all teens face new forms of harassment, insult, and social competition from social media. Their economic prospects are uncertain in an economy being reshaped by globalization, automation, and artificial intelligence, and characterized by wage stagnation for most workers. So most kids don't have easy, pampered childhoods. But as we'll show in this book, adults are doing far more these days to protect children, and their overreach might be having some negative effects. Dictionary definitions of coddle emphasize this overprotection. For example, to treat with extreme or excessive care or kindness. The fault lies with adults and with institutional practices, hence our subtitle, How Good Intentions and Bad Ideas Are Setting Up a Generation for Failure. That is exactly what this book is about. We will show how well-intentioned overprotection, from peanut bans in elementary schools through speech codes on college campuses, may end up doing more harm than good. But overprotection is just one part of a larger trend that we call problems of progress. This term refers to bad consequences produced by otherwise good social changes. It's great that our economic system produces an abundance of food at low prices, but the flip side is an epidemic of obesity. It's great that we can connect and communicate with people instantly and for free, but this hyperconnection may be damaging the mental health of young people. It's great that we have refrigerators, antidepressants, air conditioning, hot and cold running water, and the ability to escape from most of the physical hardships that were woven into the daily lives of our ancestors back to the dawn of our species. Comfort and physical safety are boons to humanity, but they bring some costs too. We adapt to our new and improved circumstances and then lower the bar for what we count as intolerable levels of discomfort and risk. By the standards of our great-grandparents, nearly all of us are coddled. Each generation tends to see the one after it as weak, whiny, and lacking in resilience. Those older generations may have a point, even though these generational changes reflect real and positive progress. To repeat, we are not saying that the problems facing students and young people more generally are minor or all in their heads. We are saying that what people choose to do in their heads will determine how those real problems affect them. Our argument is ultimately pragmatic, not moralistic. Whatever your identity, background, or political ideology, you will be happier, healthier, stronger, and more likely to succeed in pursuing your own goals if you do the opposite of what Misoponos advised. That means seeking out challenges, rather than eliminating or avoiding everything that feels unsafe. Freeing yourself from cognitive distortions, rather than always trusting your initial feelings. And taking a generous view of other people and looking for nuance, rather than assuming the worst about people within a simplistic us versus them morality.